Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
The fact that God uses the word righteous to describe Joseph when he was planning to divorce Mary is significant in our understanding of how we think about God's permissions. Sometimes you hear people speak about divorce and say, well, you know, there's sometimes when God allows divorce, but it's never God's best. Ever heard that? Never God's best. It's permitted, it's not God's best. As if God sometimes permits things that really aren't very good. He doesn't. God does not permit things that we shouldn't do. God is not like a human parent. You know, there are times, sometimes my kids will come to me and they'll ask, can I do this? And I'm sitting there, oh, yeah, I guess so. And then they say, it sounds like you don't want me to do it. Do you want me to do it or not? I mean, would you rather I not do it? And they'll ask that because they can see that I'm giving permission. It seems like I'm not very crazy about the idea. And so they're afraid they might go ahead and do it, and I might be a little bit unhappy with them for going ahead and doing it, even though I gave permission. And human parents sometimes give permission in situations like that because they're torn about what's really best. They just don't know. We don't know. We think that's okay. Well, I'd like to give permission, but what about this? I don't know. And that never happens with God, is the point. That's never the case with God. God never gives permission to do something that he would rather you not do. Never. God's will is not divided into God's best and God's kind of okay. There's no language like that in Scripture at any given moment. It's either God's desire for you to do something or it's not. And if it's his desire for you to do something, if he gives you permission to do it, then that thing is not okay. It is flat out righteous. Because it's God's will. That's what righteousness is. Matthew 1:19 does not say Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly because he was an okay man. It was because he was a righteous man. There's nothing here about second best, third best, second to last best. If God permits something, then that is God's best. And it is a righteous thing to do. Sometimes I wonder if this God's best thing isn't just a way of imposing our legalistic ideas on people. You know, while acknowledging the biblical permission. The Bible allows for something. We don't like the idea. And so we say, well, you can do it, but it's not God's best. If you're the type that says that, I guess all I have to say to you is it's not God's best for you to say that to people. It's not God's best for you to make people feel guilty for doing something God told them they could do. In many church circles, divorce has become a kind of unforgivable sin. There's a stigma that just so often attaches to divorce, so that even in the case of a righteous divorce, like Joseph's, or in the case of a sinful divorce where there's been repentance and God has forgiven and made the person clean, still there remains this stigma in so many cases. And maybe some of you felt that last week. You know, I preach strongly against sinful divorce, and I know that sermon was very hard for many of you. And even though you're not even committing any sin right now, and in that regard, you still last week in the sermon just felt guilty and condemned because of your past. You need to understand, there's no guilt in a righteous divorce. None. And there's no guilt in a forgiven sinful divorce either. There's no guilt in forgiven anything. That's what forgiven means. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, I think I had biblical grounds, but my conscience just isn't quite clear. I wasn't the spouse I should have been. I mean, yeah, they were adulterers, but I wasn't the greatest either, and I kind of half guilty too. I bear plenty of blame. Look, if you know of sins that you committed, confess them, repent of them, and once you've repented, the guilt is gone. You're forgiven. The enemy will try and come to you and tell you that your life is ruined now. You're just, your dreams for what you thought was going to be this wonderful marriage, now they're just dashed, and you're just going to have to exist the rest of your life on the junk heap of divorced humanity. Satan whispers stuff like that in your ear. He's lying. God, the God we serve, does not just delight in forgiving. He also delights in restoring what's broken. He makes beautiful things out of that which seemed ruined beyond repair. That's what he does. If your usefulness to him were over, you might be thinking, maybe I'm forgiven, but I'm just not, my usefulness is ruined. I can't, my effectiveness in ministry is ruined. If your usefulness were done, you would not be breathing. If you're done with your task on earth, God takes you home. The fact that you're still alive means there's still work for you to be done, for you to do here. And you're just as much a child of God as anyone, just as important as anyone. And Psalm 71:20 says, though you have made me see troubles, speaking to God here, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. That's what God does. Hosea 6:1, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear, and he will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. The Lord will restore you and revive you like spring rain. It just comes and turns everything green in your life. He'll restore. Joel 2:25, incredible verses. I will repay you, God says, for the years the locusts have eaten. What are the locusts in Joel? They're God's judgment. God's punishment for their sin. God says, I'm going to repay you for the losses you've incurred when I punished you. Isn't that amazing? If you think your effectiveness in ministry is over, or you're somehow not qualified to serve God anymore, just remember what God said to Jeremiah when Jeremiah sinned. Jeremiah 15:19. If you repent, I will restore you. Why? So that you might serve me. The restoration is for service. The whole purpose of the spiritual restoration is service and usefulness in ministry. Jeremiah did repent, and he had a long, fruitful ministry after chapter 15, obviously. Your life is not ruined. The only way a human soul can ever be ruined is if it gets to the point of being completely unwilling to repent. But as long as there's any willingness at all in your heart, if you seek him, he will enable repentance, and then he will bring restoration. It may not come in the time that you expect or in the form that you had hoped for or would have liked, but if not, then both the timing and the form will prove to be far better than what you were hoping for. God is a God of forgiveness and restoration.
There are some in the church who look down on divorced people as second-class believers. What about you? Is there some sin that you think of as so evil that even if the person repents, you'll never really look at them the same again? They'll never be at the same level as someone like you. Maybe a child molester, or somebody who's committed some sin that sent him to prison, or you fill in the blank. If there's a sin like that, if there's something like that, repent of that attitude and ask God to help you understand just how massive was the price Jesus paid on the cross.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.